Louis DiBiase.
Wentz, can't find anyone, spins away, under pressure, still on his feet. Now he fires downfield, and it's caught by Nelson Aguilar for an Eagles touchdown.
You are listening to the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you. Today is, yes, it is game day, Thursday, September 6th. We are in studio with Lars Lewis coming back in to help out as we're doing some pods today. We got two today before the game, so you have something to listen to while you're getting excited, because really it's the build-up all today, you know, from the minute you woke up today. I don't know for you, Lars, but for me, the minute I woke up, went outside, it's got that cool 65 degrees, cloudy,
about time,
windy.
It's been baking out here the last three.
Hoodie and shorts, and it just feels like football weather. And
I'm not going that far.
It's football weather for me, and I'm just so excited. You could feel it. The minute you woke up, it's like, it's game day. It is finally here, Lars.
Dude, they've been tailgating at the Link since 9 this
morning.
The
4th and John, you know, shout out to 4th and John. Their annual tailgate every week. They've been there since 9 a.m. People are lining up at the Link. It's 2 o'clock right now when we're recording this. We're 6.5 hours away from kickoff as the Eagles get set to go for the repeat as they are reigning 2017 Super Bowl champions. And not only is today a game against the Atlanta Falcons, a very important one against a very, very good team, but it's also a celebration. It's our final celebration, Lars. So this is really the last podcast where we get to reminisce on last year's run until a terrible collapse might have happened during the season, and God hope that doesn't happen where we start talking about the Super Bowl again to make us feel better. But this is really the last time that we get to look back, and I feel like that's really not just with us, but the players are already moving forward and the coaching staff, but the Eagles themselves as an organization are going to put on a show before the game today, putting up the banner. The Nick Foles Doug Peterson statue was unveiled yesterday, courtesy of Bud Light. So that's in front of the stadium now. So that's part of it. It just, there's so much stuff that's going to happen. I saw on Twitter that there's this huge Lombardi Trophy statue that I think they're going to put behind the tunnel, bringing them into the game. So there's some stuff, and I'm sure there's going to be amazing videos. It's going to be a spectacle to watch before the game. So it's our final chance to really celebrate this run, because the minute kickoff happens, the minute Jake Elliott or Matt Bryant boom that kick into the end zone, it's time for the 2018 season. It's time to go for a repeat.
Yes, and am I in the minority here in thinking that I've almost become weary of all of the Super Bowl talk? I'm tired. We've been revisiting the same game for the last like 6 months.
And we did it again because yesterday the Philly Special documentary came out and America's Game, so you knew what I was doing all night, Lars.
I just want to watch new football.
I understand.
It's a new season,
but I can't stop celebrating it until the season officially starts, because you never know. I went 21 years of my life, and some people went 60 years, some people went 80 years without seeing an Eagles championship. So I understand fully the people that want to celebrate this up until the very last second that they can, and probably even into this season, people are still going to be enjoying that run, and it's going to make things, even if things don't go right this year, if Wentz takes a little bit longer, it's going to make everything seem a lot easier to handle because of this run. And it's just, it's something that, you know, people like me, I'm a younger Eagles fan, but I suffered through some stuff too. I kind of came in to the Eagles at the end of the McNabb, Dawkins, Andy Reid era, where, you know, they made that NFC Championship game against the Cardinals, but I went through the Kevin Cobbs and the Michael Vicks. Although Michael Vick had that one really big season, Michael Vick wasn't really a success in Philadelphia when you consider the long-term view of that situation. And I saw Donovan McNabb get traded, and Nick Foles, the 27-2, to then suddenly getting traded for Sam Bradford. And we saw Mark Sanchez starting a lot of games. We have gone through a lot of different stuff, a lot of different regimes, even although there was only two coaches before Doug Peterson and Andy Reid and Chip Kelly. There was basically two Chip Kelly eras, right? And there's been some stuff. So it's fun to look back at just how far we've come from as earlier as 2015, and that's why too I think people are celebrating this so much, because it was so unexpected. It just came super quick, and the offseason was also very short, Lars. This is the shortest offseason, which I could get used to, but it went from February 4th up until September, so it wasn't that long compared to some people. are watching football games up until December, and then January up until September, they don't have their favorite teams playing. So that's a part of it, too, is just reminiscing as much as possible and celebrating this. And I think tonight really is the last hurrah for that. But again, when the first kickoff happens, we got a game, and it's against Atlanta, and that's a big one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to start the season already. I've enjoyed the Super Bowl. I've loved it. You and I have relived it for so long, and we may relive it for the next 30, 40 years of our lives. And I want a fresh start now, and I think all the players want to have a fresh start. I think even the fans, for the most part, they want it too.
Yeah, and even
they
want to
start. We want to see new football now.
I'm with you, and I like what Malcolm Jenkins said. This team hasn't earned that. That was a different team that won that, although the majority of the core is still intact. He's right. This is a different team, and that's a celebration. That's an achievement of a different team, and I like that approach. And even Nick Foles said he's probably not going to watch a lot of the banner raising. Try to keep your mind focused, because if you start thinking about that again,
you got a big game to play.
Yeah, you can get unfocused, and this is a huge test. It's against an Atlanta team that a lot of people are picking to win the Super Bowl. It's not some pushover like in Week 2 where you're going to be playing Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, it's a tough test against an Atlanta team that's very hyped right now in the NFL.
This can very well be your opponent in the NFC Championship if this happens.
Yeah, very much so. The NFC's loaded, and you got to win these games against the big dogs. If you especially home field advantage, we saw how key it was in the playoffs for the Eagles last year. It starts Week 1. This is a huge test to start off the year.
Yeah, we're going
to
continue our preview a little later on, like throughout the pod. Mm. But you look at Atlanta, and you see all of the weapons that are around them. You look at Julio Jones. You look at now Calvin Ridley, Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, Mohamed Sanu. Mm. I mean, and they have a solid offensive line. That is going to be a real test to go up against when this Eagles defense, they may look even better than last year, but this was the same same Falcons team that last season was one ball through the hands away from beating Philadelphia, and none of this ever happens.
Yeah, and it's funny, even I was watching the America's Game documentary yesterday, and they showed an angle of it where Jalen Mills is... Mills had tight coverage on him. He was on top of him, essentially, when Julio fell in the end zone, but he got back up, and you know, Mills had good positioning, but when you look at the play, Julio was over Jalen Mills. He had the extension out. Jalen Mills really didn't contest the ball. He got in Julio's way with the body, but that ball went right through Julio Jones's hands. There was an up-close view in the America's Game, and I'm just sitting there thinking, wow, they were that close from being a team that, again, has not won a playoff game since 2008, and the outlook then coming into this year is very different than it was last year. You know?
Oh, so way different.
It was amazing, but I loved watching those documentaries. It's something I've dreamed about. I love the America's Game series on NFL Network and NFL Films. NFL Films does just everything. It's
it
just
always
a masterpiece.
It always felt a little hint of jealousy every time you watch America's Game and you see the Cowboys and you see
the Broncos,
Washington,
the LA runs,
and the Giants with
Patriots
Bill Parcells.
Ones.
Yeah,
and you just sit there and you're like, you see the theme song, you see all the rings, the cool montage in the beginning, you're sitting there like, I can't wait till they make one of these about our team.
And it sucks when you're the only team in the whole division that hasn't won a ring.
Right.
And that was Philadelphia for all of this time. They always had the stupid jokes where Philadelphia has the ring pops instead of the actual rings themselves. Well, different story now. That's why watching the America's Game last night, seeing the Eagles finally win it all, it was beyond recognition. It's hard to even put into words for which that you and I were watching that. And I sort of also, even though as weary as I am of talking about the Super Bowl, I had the tingles again from watching
the Super Bowl
in February.
It brought back the same feelings that you had in the playoff run. And those were feelings I've never experienced before because, again, in 2008, I'm a younger Eagles fan. I still can remember watching that NFC Championship game against the Cardinals. But outside of that, that's the biggest run I've had. The Eagles, that 2010 year, out in the wild card round. Then they missed the playoffs for 2 years. They get back with Chip Kelly. They're out in the wild card round against the Saints. This was something that a lot of Eagles fans, it was uncharted territory. It was the first time in a decade that they were playing deep into January and then into February. So it brought back a lot of the same feelings and also revealed some really cool stories. I think they did a really good job showcasing Carson Wentz on this. I think they did a really nice job of splitting it where it was the Carson Wentz story and the Nick Foles story, essentially when we're talking about the quarterbacks. And it was just so cool. There's some things that you don't realize about. Everyone loves to point to stats when talking about quarterbacks' performances and stuff, but you don't realize some of the stories until you get features like America's Game, where against the Giants in week 3, Carson Wentz had them implement a play from North Dakota State that he ran in college. And it was the move to Ertz in the red zone. It was a double move inside, and Wentz threw it to him. He was wide open and went right off Ertz's hands. And it's super cool. They have him mic'd up in the America's Game feature. It was part of the sound effects, I guess. And Wentz looks right at the coaching staff, right at the sidelines, and just says, again, let's run this again, because he knew he had it. And it was a play that he put into the offense, and Doug Peterson allowing that to happen is just, again, it speaks to just what kind of coach Doug Peterson is. And the next play, they come right back, and he scores that touchdown to Ertz. It was really a eye-opener when it comes to appreciating Carson Wentz, because I know we appreciate him and we idolize him essentially in Philadelphia, but it gave you details into the story of the season that you didn't really get before. And it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just that play, but it was also what his mind was going through after he got hurt against the Rams, and just in the playoffs too, how he tried to help that team on the sidelines. And he talked about when Foles and the Eagles won the Super Bowl and the feelings that he had, that, you know, he wanted to be on the field and he was fighting these demons back and forth because he wants to be in the moment with that team, but it was also killing him to be off the field. And just to see a guy go through that, you could just see the emotion on his face. It's something that is motivating him extremely, and it's why I don't think there's a Super Bowl hangover coming this year. But it was two incredible documentaries, and the statue is amazing. It's the perfect moment to build a statue.
I like it that they did it now.
Right.
Instead of
20 years down the road. I love it, too. I don't like that it says presented by Bud Light on the sides of them. But
I had a beef with that.
But
I
mean,
they offered it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it came immediately. It's in front of the stadium to start the season. And it's the perfect statue for the moment that what it captures. It was, you know, again, Nick Foles going to him asking, "You want Philly?" And just the pause for 2 seconds, Peterson just looking at him. And they're both like, not only like looking at each other like, are we going to do this, but it's a thing too where they're thinking in their heads like, oh my God, are we about to do a trick play on fourth and goal in the Super Bowl? And they're both looking at each other like, are we both actually considering doing this? And it's an amazing moment in sports, and it's the best moment to me in Eagles history.
It's the sheer uncertainty.
And I love that they made a statue out of it, that it wasn't just a play. It wasn't Foles catching the ball in the end zone, but it was them looking at each other and making that play call, because that moment, those 3 seconds, is what changed the season. It was what won them the Super Bowl. I know the Brandon Graham strip sack was important, and there was a lot of plays in that game, but the boldness in that play, you're going to be talking about for the next 50, 60 years.
Yeah, because you're not playing against any team.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing the New England Patriots. You're playing a team that has seen everything.
That teams
you
are too afraid
everything.
To make decisions like that, right?
Because
just look
Belichick
at the Jaguars
puts
the AFC
fear
title.
In them.
And just look at the Jaguars in the AFC title game.
Marone got cowardly in the second half.
He
went aggressive in the first half, and they were winning.
And you didn't think Atlanta was intimidated in the second half of the Super Bowl? They were playing scared. They were playing not to lose. They had a lead, and they're like, we just got to hold off New England for 2 quarters, and it didn't happen, whereas the Eagles are just like, keep going. We're going to put our foot on the gas, and they said that in the documentary, that we weren't going to let up. LeGarrette Blount talked about it, how you can't do that with New England. He was there. He won 2 rings with the team, and it's a team that a lot of people cower in. They get conservative when they're playing them, and they get intimidated.
And that's exactly what Belichick wants.
And it's the moment that Peterson and a backup quarterback said, no, that's not the way we're doing this. We're going for it all in the biggest moment.
It's like you have nothing to lose.
It was so...
You're playing against the greatest dynasty in the history of sports, which I... Look, people could say Boston Celtics winning 8 championships in the 60s was considered a dynasty unlike anything else. The Yankees also. But what the New England Patriots have done in 17 years will never be duplicated again.
Mm.
And for us, we were talking about this earlier today. Do we want the Eagles to be that? And you said no.
You don't
want that because you would get complacent.
I don't. I want the Eagles to be a contender for as long as I'm a fan. But there was something special to the run last year because it was the first. And I think if you were a team that won, like a Golden State Warriors team in the NBA, where you win 3 of 4... eventually, I think it would lose its sparkle a little bit. And it's not, that sounds so uppity for a team that just won the Super Bowl.
You
and now it's that.
It.
I mean, teams like the Buffalo Bills and the Cleveland Browns are like, just, you know, piss off. Like, that's such an arrogant take. But I think if we had a thing like the Patriots where we win 3 in 4 years, but then it goes for a while without winning. I just want everything to still have that special feeling to it. I don't want nothing to feel important except for the Super Bowl. I want those playoff games to still be exciting for us in the divisional run in the regular season. And that's to me, and I know this Eagles has the potential to be the next dynasty in the NFL, and I welcome that, but I also want it to be different. I don't want that feeling that we had in 2017 to change. So I don't know. It's something that I've gone back and forth with during the season. As long as they're close games, because even last year during the nine game win streak, when you're blowing teams out every single week, eventually, you know, you want it to be close. You want to have moments like they had in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, to me, because it makes it all the more exciting. So
you want a worthy contender. Yeah. You want someone that can push you to make you think, man, we might lose.
Yeah,
this
do you
thing?
want that feeling? I like having those nerves that we had against Atlanta at the goal line. That's what makes sports fun. You don't want blowouts every single game. You want that feeling of, oh my gosh, like I care so much about this team, and that are they going to pull this out? That you almost feel sick to your stomach. It's what made last year so incredible and just up and down. And I know they went on the run, but then losing Wentz and then Foles struggling and then coming back and blowing up in the playoffs, getting through a close game, then blowing the Vikings out. It was such a roller coaster of a season.
Yeah,
and
you said it. You hit the nail right on the head. I have never felt a roller coaster like that.
Yeah, so, we're going to move on in the next segment. We're going to talk about the game, but I just thought one more time, as it's game day, just reminisce a little bit more. So coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, we're getting to our poll of the day. Who do you think on the offensive side of the ball, where we're talking about the skill positions, is going to take over tonight? If the Eagles win this game, if they can get the ball moving on offense, who is it going to be that takes over? Me and Lars are going to talk about that next on the Locked On Eagles podcast.
You know, Louie, as you've been mentioning this before we get on to the next segment, you know, ever since this podcast started, you know, people have been asking us for some advice. Usually it's, you know, what team you bet on each week, because believe me, we love football. Mm-hmm. We look at every single team. It's not just the Eagles. We go throughout the whole league.
Right.
But the truth is, we don't know exactly who's going to win. None of us know. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie.
That's right.
Now remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you are betting with. And that's why we always tell people to bet with my bookie and trust us, guys. They are your best bet for this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. And also their mobile site is very easy to use as well. And lay down some big cash and you can potentially win today. I mean, Eagles-Falcons is tonight.
It is.
You got it.
Start it up.
Yep. I know sometimes you're biased. Obviously, we're all Eagles fans. We want the Eagles to win.
It's a dangerous game.
You got to make sure you temper it, because you want to think about this objectively if you're looking to win some money. Now, join now, and MyBookie will actually match your deposit dollar for dollar. And that's not just for opening night. That's when you do it for your very first time. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer and visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to the Locked On Eagles podcast as we roll through these hours before the game. The much-anticipated season opener is here. We are 6 hours officially away from Eagles-Falcons. And Lars, let's get into some of the game now. We previewed the show on Monday. We had our crossover edition with Locked On Falcons. You can check all those out on our podcast feed, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you find podcasts, we're up and available, and also on LockedOnEagles.com. So we talked with Aaron from Locked On Falcons on Tuesday. We got into the matchups. We got into some predictions, what to watch for on both sides of the ball. But
guys, got to check that out. Yeah, crossover pod was great.
It was a good time with Locked On Falcons, but now I want to talk more about the offensive side of the ball, because this is the biggest question mark. I don't think there's a doubt that the Eagles defense is going to come through in this game and they're going to hold their own. They always play well at home. They have pretty much everybody on the field except for Nigel Bradham, who is suspended for the first game, but Jordan Hicks is back. And so the offense is really the side that we're talking about, because there is no Carson Wentz. There is no Alshon Jeffrey. There's some different pieces now with Dallas Goedert. There's no Mac Hollins either. So is Shelton Gibson going to be playing sometimes on the outside? The running back rotation is different now, because you still have a Jai and Clement, but Darren Sproles is here now instead of LeGarrette Blount.
He's back.
So we put Mighty Mouse himself. I feel like we really forget that how special this guy can be, even at age 35.
He's ageless.
Yeah, but so we put up a poll at DiBiase LOE is where I'm up at. If you want to talk birds, after the podcast, all day, every day, I'm always, Lars, you know, I'm always on Twitter. But so the question was, who is going to take over on offense for the me on, I'm always on Twitter is probably an understatement, right?
Clearly.
Who
oh,
is
by
going,
the way, the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
That's
right.
Damn right. Who is going to take over on offense for the Eagles tomorrow night? And you guys spoke, 49% said Jay Ajayi, 32% said Zach Ertz, 12% said Nelson Agholor, and 7% said others. So, Lars, it looks like people are expecting the J-train to take over in this one, and I think that makes sense. With it backs up with what we were talking about on Monday, how the offensive line needs to dictate this. It needs to be a messy game for the Eagles to win, and I think Jay Ajayi having a big one reflects that. He had a really good performance against Atlanta in the wild card game, and even go back to 2016, that game was the Ryan Matthews game. The Eagles have really beaten the Falcons the past two games because of the offensive line and because of the run game, and I think the fans realize that, and they're banking on the J-train this week.
Ryan Matthews, man. That's
right.
Name.
That happened.
That was
only 2 years ago.
Oh.
How far we've come
it feels
in
like,
2 years.
I feel like the entire franchise for years before that, it's like it didn't even exist until, you know, when last season happened.
Right.
It's like I can't even remember the fact that Mark Sanchez even played for this team.
Those are really the three guys, though, that we need to keep an eye on. Because,
yes.
I mean, the other
running
players,
game is going to be extremely right. important because Jason Peters, he's got his first game back this year.
That's right.
About
he didn't
him,
play,
too.
And he didn't play all preseason.
That's right. And he's likely going to get lined up against Vic Beasley.
Mm-hmm.
Running game is going to be extremely crucial. And we talked about this on the podcast last week. Doug Peterson is going to have to implement a lot of foreign packages. And I would not be surprised throughout the first half they're going to run to
That's
the right
point.
Side
I
towards
like
Lane Johnson.
I agree with that, especially with how fast Atlanta plays.
Yeah. Let Jason Peters
get
acclimated.
Yeah.
Let him get his feet wet.
Atlanta's a very instinctual defense. And
right.
if you can catch them off guard with different plays, Doug, if you get Doug Peterson scheming up this offense in the, not only the run game but the pass game, that's where we're going to catch this Atlanta team off guard. And I like that. I think we got to warm Peters up into this game. I know he's
yeah.
a veteran. He's been in the league for a long time. But the Falcons have some athletic pass rushers in McKinney and Beasley.
It's tough when you have it at game speed in
you'd like
about
to get
10
his
months.
Feet, yeah, you'd like to get his feet wet. It might be a little rusty in the first quarter, but I think once it gets going, this offensive line needs to take over. And I think Jay Ajayi, look, he's had a great offseason. He's expected to be the featured guy. He looks motivated. He's incredible in
amazing,
incredible shape.
Amazing what happens when you actually have an offensive line to
right.
run in front of compared to what he had in Miami.
And he's also in a contract year, and you know players play well in the contract
he's
year.
Hungry.
We know it with just, let's go back to 2014 and Jeremy Maclin. Big year
oh, that
to
was
make that money, and he blew up for 1,300. He had over 1,100 yards, and that's the type of, you know, players play better when they're trying to make their money. And I think the Eagles are going to rely on Jay Ajayi, not just him, but Clement and Sproles as well. I think that three-headed monster, they relied on the three-headed monster in the Super Bowl with Blunt, Clement, and Ajayi, and I think that same theme is going to happen today, and the fans agree. 32% said Ertz. And I'm with you in the passing game. Ertz has to get open against Keanu Neal. He's got the toughest matchup. But I think Nelson Agholor in the slot. We talked about it in the crossover edition with Aaron. Agholor against Poole is the weak point. And it's the matchup that I've seen on Twitter Falcons fans are worried about most. Because Agholor is a dominant slot receiver. He is crucial on third downs. And that is the piece on offense in the passing game that the Eagles need to get going. Because Ertz is going to get his against Keanu Neal. But Agholor has the easiest matchup, and he's the guy I'm expecting to have the biggest breakout year on offense. It's between him and Ajayi, but Aguilar's a guy. And 12% said Agholor, so he came in third, but he's a player
he's
that they
need to
rely on.
He's a bigger role than people think.
I agree.
When you look at this game, when you have that matchup with Poole and Agholor, don't be surprised if Atlanta starts playing up,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to have their linebackers cheat up a little bit, which in that case, they're going to try to make sure that Poole's going to have help on the inside if Agholor is going to run a lot of slant routes over the middle, which, by the way, when you have a Nick Foles offense, it's going to be very rhythm passing, quick, quick, quick.
Yep.
And it's either going to go to the left side, maybe 5 yard out, or it's going to be a slant pattern over the middle for like 6 or 7 yards deep.
Yep.
And with that case, then it opens up the deep threats. And this is what's going to hurt when you don't have Nelson Agholor, because then Agholor is going to stretch the field because he's always a deep threat. He's not the fastest guy, but you're going to have to double him because he's so big.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Doug Peterson and you're running this offense, sure, that slant's going to be there if they got one-on-one coverage with Poole, but you're going to have to realize that if the linebackers are going to start cheating up and they're going to have a lot of traffic out there in the middle, I would not be surprised if Philadelphia runs the ball more than they do throw it this game.
No, I agree. I think the run game is going to be something they establish early, getting the ball quick, getting into a rhythm, but No Alshon is going to hurt this, but I think, you know, with Mike Wallace still there, it's going to be interesting where they put Aguilar and where
they
put Zach
legs
Ertz.
Left.
And you have, you know, 7% at other. Maybe you're thinking Dallas Goedert can take advantage of his matchup.
I was just going to mention that. Imagine them with two tight end sets.
That's where they need to take advantage. I think they're going to have a lot of two tight end sets where you have Mike Wallace on the outside and either Ertz and Goddard on the outside.
And then you push Aguilar in
and
the
then
slot in the
Aguilar
left.
Aguilar and one of the other tight ends are inside. I think they're going to utilize the two tight end look a lot. Goddard's going to have a big role today. And I wrote an article the other day how suddenly Dallas Goedert was going to have a role in this offense, but suddenly he is probably your third option in this passing game because I don't like the matchup between Mike Wallace and Desmond Trufant. I just don't.
Nah,
when you have
that doesn't work.
Trufant's one of the most underrated corners in this NFL, and Wallace, we haven't seen much of him over the summer. He's still getting his timing down. With deep receivers like that, it takes a little bit longer to get the timing down with his quarterbacks and with Foles and with Wentz eventually. So I think Goddard suddenly is your third option in the passing game. You know, Darren Sproles and Clement are going to be involved as well. So there are, Foles still has a lot of options, but, and then Shelton Gibson too is a player that when the Eagles go to three receiver looks and maybe just one tight end,
there might be a lot of power packages.
Yeah.
In
Shelton,
this game.
Shelton Gibson though, eventually is going to have to play on the outside. They're going to run some three receiver looks. I know they brought back Marcus Wheaton who has experience in the NFL, but Gibson earned those reps in this preseason. He has been impressive in the deep game and his route running, kickoff returns. So there are some other guys that can contribute to this offense, but I wrote the article. Suddenly two players that were going to be role players in this offense are thrown into the fire and might need to be relied on today depending on how the other matchups go. If Keanu Neal is playing really well on Ertz, you can't just rely on Aguilar. Goddard's got to make plays. Someone else in this passing game has to make plays. So then you keep the defense honest, and then you can continue to thrive with that run game.
I think Goddard's going to be the X factor in this game because Zach Ertz, we all know who he is. Atlanta definitely knows who he is. And I would not be surprised if they actually put Ertz to the left or to the right of Aguilar, and they may put him out wide.
Yeah.
Because Ertz has plenty of speed for a tight end, and that creates a matchup problem if you're going to stick a corner on him, because then you can run those inside routes, and that's a big target. He can box out the corner, and Foles can get his quick five-yard passes in, and just, you know, little by little, slowly but surely be able to get first downs over and over again. And that's what you have to do when you're playing Atlanta. You're playing a team that's based on speed and instinct. If you get these long, slow drives, you're going to tire them out eventually. And I think that's the best way to go against Atlanta when you're playing an offense of that caliber. If you keep them on the sideline and they can't generate their rhythm, it can be an easy time for Philadelphia.
Shout out to Wingman at Fly64, Eagles Twitter. You know who he is. He's the Wendell Smallwood supporter on Eagles Twitter. He's the biggest. Lars, he's a guy that is willing to die on this hill, and he's the only guy on this hill, and I respect the hell out of him. He is the biggest Wendell Smallwood fan you'll ever know. Pretty much everyone in Eagles media knows of him because when one of the big question marks, you know, first world problems when we're talking about in the football sense, we're talking about who's the fourth running back is going to be, and this guy loved Wendell Smallwood. So in my mentions on the poll, on 7%, I said other. You know the only vote was him, and he posted a picture of Wendell Smallwood. So shout out to you, Wingman, if you're listening, at Fly64. But again, the results of the poll, 49% of you think Jay Ajayi is the one taking over on offense tonight. 32% say Zach Ertz, 12% say Aguilar, and then 7% say other. And I would probably agree with the overall results of this, outside of I maybe flip Aguilar and Ertz. I think Aguilar's going to have a better day than Ertz just based on the matchup. And Lars, we talk about,
I think Philly's going to is going to double Ertz.
I know how good Alshon Jeffery is, and I know how valuable to this team he is. I think by the end of the season, Aguilar is going to be the best pass catcher on this team. I think he's going to he broke out last year. I think he's going to break out even more this year. I think he's going to take that next step. He just does everything that you could want in what he did last year. It's not only just on third downs. When Carson Wentz was targeting Nelson Aguilar, his QBR was over 120. He was the best. I mean, one of the best. He was the best slot receiver on third down, one of the best in football. Run after the catch ability. We saw that at USC. We didn't see that in the first 2 years. It's not only that, but Alshon's the number one wide receiver right now, but Aguilar also has the parts that Alshon does in the contested catch rate. He had a contested catch rate of 42%. I think Alshon Jeffrey was around 45%. So Aguilar, you saw it against the Giants. You saw it against the Patriots. Contested catches, that's something that he's thrived in. I think Aguilar is in for a huge, huge year, and I think he's going to end up emerging as the most explosive and most relied upon wide receiver on the Eagles. And it's no knock on Alshon Jeffrey. I still think he's a low-end wide receiver number one in the NFL. He's a wide receiver one. I know there was criticism of him over the offseason, but he stepped up huge in the playoffs. He was great on third
down.
That
catch in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And he scored touchdowns he scored a touchdown against New England. He scored two against Minnesota. He had 12 touchdowns last year.
You need a guy like him.
He was selfless too. You didn't hear a lot of wide receivers when they're not catching the ball and they're in an offense like the Eagles, they start complaining. But Alshon, he went about his business. He got 60 to 70 yards every game, and you knew you had that in him every week. I would much rather have an Alshon Jeffrey type of player that you know is going to get you at least 60 to 70 yards each week than a DeSean Jackson type that might get you in a 120-yard game, or he might get you a 2 catches for 29-yard game. You know what I'm saying? So it's no knock to Alshon. He's a wide receiver one in this league too, but I think the Eagles have two of them, and I think that's you're going to see that this year, and I think it starts today, week one.
So you're going to claim right now that Aguilar is the breakout star.
I think Aguilar is the breakout star, and I think he's going to emerge as the go-to guy on offense.
Amazing what happens when you actually are able to catch the ball. Like the first 2 years, maybe it was
I'd
the
love
yips,
to go back
maybe
and,
it was
yeah.
whatever it was.
It was all mental. It was all mental.
Yeah, he fought because the talent was always there.
And you've seen that kind of revelation with Shelton Gibson, too, this year. He has played more comfortably. He's out of his own head, and he can use that world-class speed that we saw at West Virginia. He has the Aguilar effect, and it's amazing. I'd love to go in a time machine and tell 2016 version of Lou, that guy right there, this is what he's going to become.
I know 2016 version of Lou.
Yeah, he was optimistic, but not this optimistic, not after getting his ring. So let's take one more break. We'll wrap up the show. We'll get some bold predictions in and our prediction for the game because I made a prediction on the crossover episode, Lars, but I'm changing it up here. I have some time. I'm allowed. I have that right. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to the show, guys. We wrap it up here with some bold predictions for tonight, and we predict the game. So, Lars, before we get into who's going to step up, get some predictions to watch for the game, I need your results for the game. Because let me just say, the Locked On Falcons-Eagles crossover podcast, I picked the Falcons 24-21. But now that I'm starting to think about it, I'm starting to talk about this Eagles offense, and I went back into the film and watched how well the defense played, and I just started thinking, I know the documentaries, they got me a little hyped on a biased sense, but I started thinking, though, and this team's at home. They are they're the Seattle now of the NFL, where you do not want to go to Philadelphia and play a game. They were dominating at home last year. I think they were
7-1,
right?
Their only loss was a meaningless game against
the
Cowboys.
Week 17. So they were essentially undefeated at home last year, and here they come in again with that same bet. They have the advantage in the trenches, on the offensive line and the defensive line, which is huge for a week one game because you know how weird week one games are. And not everyone's at 100%. They're knocking the rust off still. I think about that, and I'm seeing everybody take the Falcons again. Everybody. Where we started off right where we were last year. We're the underdogs once again. And
actually, no, I checked the Vegas line. It's -1 for Philly.
Did it change again today?
Yeah.
Because there was +1 yesterday.
The line flipped. Now it's -1 for Philly.
Well, regardless, I've seen on
ESPN. It's a coin flip.
The ESPN analysts, I haven't seen. The majority has been Atlanta. And I at first thought Atlanta too. And I'm going to pick against the Eagles this year at times. They're not going to go 13-3 again, if you ask me.
It's so hard to do.
But I cannot convince myself to pick against the Super Bowl champions at home with the advantage of the most important positions.
Oh, the Pats got skunked on opening night last year when they played the Chiefs.
I know, but being the underdogs once again, it would be reckless for me to choose against that team in the first game. I'll choose against that team maybe week 3, 4, 6, whatever,
but I
can't bring myself to do that right now.
Not tonight.
So
we skate. No,
and Aaron,
that's
Aaron,
a different movie.
Aaron picked the Eagles, actually. He had the Eagles, I had the Falcons. I'm switching my score around 24-20 birds for this week. Not the dirty birds, the Super Bowl champion birds.
Birds.
So, okay. And I don't normally do this, but I really thought about it the past 2 days, and And it's a non-biased look. I'm obviously cheering for the Eagles, but I really do think that they're going to eke this one out in a very close one, and that's what I'm sticking with.
It's
going to
be a fight. It's definitely going to be a fight.
Now, no pun intended.
Now, the old adage is, for preseason, going into the early weeks of the regular season, what do they always say? The defense is quicker than the offense. Mm-hmm. The offense takes a little longer to get going.
That's a good point.
And I understand that Matt Ryan, Julio, Tevin, Devontae, they've all done this before.
Right.
They know exactly how they play. But even with the which, by the way, they've barely seen any preseason this year.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Quinn has kept those guys out throughout the entire preseason. So they may have some rust going into week one. And let's see. Okay, let me take a look at what that front five looks like for Philadelphia. Let's see. Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, Chris Long, Michael Bennett. Oh, Haloti Ngata. Oh, that's nice. And, oh, I forgot, Fletcher Cox.
Oh, of course. Can't forget about Fletcher Cox.
Of course not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Philly by 14.
Okay.
Because the way I see it, Atlanta is going to be playing from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that Philadelphia's offense is a question mark. But their defense, with what they have in that front seven, when they're going up against Atlanta, they're not going to give Matt Ryan enough time to be able to make those throws. Because when you look at Sarkisian's offense compared to Kyle Shanahan's, it's a little more slower developed.
Yeah.
It's more of a standard style offense compared to the quick throws under Shanahan. That plays right into the Eagles' hands, especially when there's been a lack of reps from the Atlanta offense. Philadelphia is going to be bringing a lot of heat throughout this game. They may dial it back later in the game when Atlanta's got to start throwing a lot more often and they have to get guys back, because there's a lot of weapons that Atlanta has, and once they get through a half of football and they find themselves, the game's going to be a little tighter. But I think Philadelphia will be up by 7 in the fourth quarter. They have a touchdown that ices it midway through the fourth, and then neither team scores all the way down. Eagles 24, Atlanta 14.
Okay, bold predictions time. So we both picked the Eagles. I want a bold prediction on offense and defense. I'll start it up on offense, Lars. I think the three-headed monster at running back, Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, and Darren Sproles will combine for 200-plus yards once again. They did it in the Super Bowl. Ajayi, Clement, and LeGarrette Blount took over that one. I think they leave off right where they start right where they left off against New England. They combine for 200-plus. Ajayi breaks 100 yards rushing. Clement has, you know, 40 to 50 rushing yards, another 30 to 40 in the receiving game. Darren Sproles as well. I think these running backs, we talked about some of the keys with Aguilar and Ertz and Ajayi. The other two running backs too, though. I think if they rely on these three running backs, especially if the passing game doesn't get going, this is the thing. This is the key, one of the keys to the game. It's these three running backs taking over. I think they surpass 200-plus yards from scrimmage. That's on offense. What about you for offense?
Well, we talked about that earlier when they may run more than pass in this game because of all the options that they possess. I would say for offense, it's going to be running, but it's not going to be any of those three that you mentioned.
Oh no.
Yes. Nick Foles is going to have a rushing score this game.
Okay, I love it.
Nick Foles will have a rushing touchdown.
He almost had one last time against Atlanta. Remember the fumble? He picked it up and dove in the end zone.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
He's going to do it again.
Is it a QB sneak, or is it this is part of the bold prediction? Can it be a QB sneak? I'm okay if you say it can be a QB sneak as well. A rushing touchdown is a rushing touchdown.
Here's what it's going to be.
Is it an RPO, but he keeps it? Which doesn't normally happen with Nick Foles.
You know what?
Almost ever.
Because it's going to happen.
I love it.
It's going to happen. It's going to be inside. It's going to be the 2-yard line or at the 1, either side.
Is he going to get to the edge before Deion Jones?
They're going to.
God.
I hope so. So he's going to fake it to Ajayi, who they're thinking it's going to be a goal line run.
Okay.
And he's going to fake it to Ajayi, and he's going to take it himself. And it's either going to be up the middle, because I don't think he's going to run for a bootleg. He's not that fast. But, yeah, it's going to be a fake. It's going to be a fake dive for Ajayi.
I'm writing
he's
that down, so I remember.
He's going to sneak it in for a touchdown.
Okay, on defense for me, Lars, we don't have Nigel Bradham this week. He's suspended. But we bring back someone that was one of the best inside linebackers in the league before he got hurt. Someone that, like Darren Sproles, I think we forget sometimes just how good he was. And because of how good Nigel Bradham was, Jordan Hicks is back this week.
Aha!
He's the only linebacker that's going to play the majority of the game. He can cover. He's amazing in the run. He's one of the backbones of this defense. I predict today it's going to be a defensive game. The defense is what's going to win this football game for the Eagles. Jordan Hicks has a pick, a sack, and a fumble recovery.
A little bit of a Freudian slip there. Yeah, that's right. Jordan Picks. That's
Jordan,
his new nickname.
Jordan Picks. That's what it's going to be called
Jordan
tonight.
Jordan Picks.
Jordan Hicks has an interception tonight, a sack, and a fumble recovery. He's all over the ball tonight. All
right.
Jordan Hicks, defensive player of the week.
Okay. I actually won't pick one player, but I'm going to pick a group.
Okay.
Birds front four get 3 sacks on Matt Ryan.
Okay.
Get 3 sacks or more.
3 sacks
plus? So I'll
go
with that. They're
going
to get at least 3 sacks this game.
All right. That's going to do it for today, Lars. And it's a incredible time to be an Eagles fan. I am so excited. Football is back. We are now under 6 hours to go from kickoff. We hope you enjoy the podcast as you wait. We hope we help you get through the offseason and through today as the much-anticipated season opener is among us. For Lars Lewis, I am Lee DiBiase, signing off. Lars, good stuff. Thanks for being on the show.
Indeed. Shout out to everybody out at the link tonight. Have fun.
Yep, have fun. It's going to be an incredible night that you won't forget. Follow me on Twitter, at DiBiaseLOE, for your game updates for Lars, at LarsLewis12. Make sure you subscribe to the pod. Leave us a 5-star review if you would, or whatever you feel. Please leave reviews. We love the feedback from you fans. And we'll see you tomorrow recapping an Eagles win. Let's hope, right, Lars?
Go Birds.
Go Birds.